What a way to bring baseball back to downtown Toronto tonight. You had everything. You had some outstanding offense from the Toronto Blue Jays with Teoscar Hernandez and Bo Bichette hitting some big home runs. Some nice plate appearances overall by the guys you expected, including George Springer, who has a three-hit night in his Toronto debut as a Blue Jay. And then, of course, the dazzling defense to finish it all off with Santiago Espinal and the barehanded grab to cap off a 6-4 winning edition of Blue Jays baseball. We welcome you to the postgame show being brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. I'm Ben Wagner here at Rogers Center. Coming up in a moment, Rob Wong, Josh Goldberg will join you, and we'll get set for Blue Jays talk across our network in a couple of moments. But first, let's take you through the totals in this one. The Blue Jays return to open up a three-game series against the Kansas City Royals, and they did it with a 6-4 win. The Blue Jays now are 52-48 on the season, and after a nomadic 44 games played at home venues, whether it's Dunedin or Buffalo, they come to Toronto and they notch the victory and continue the good times rolling. Now four games over the 500 mark. The defeat for the Royals, who have been playing some pretty good baseball, moves their record to 45-57. That's just the fourth loss in the last 10 games for Kansas City and just the second in the last 10 for KC. Totals in this one are as follows. The Blue Jays with 6 runs on 10 hits. There was one error. At the plate, Blue Jays went 3-for-6 with runners in scoring position, leaving 6 men on base. Teoscar Hernandez got his 16th of the season in the second inning with a solo home run. Bo Bichette, his 19th, a 7th inning, 2-run home run for the Blue Jays. Kansas City scored 4 on 7 hits and no errors. Salvador Perez hit his 26th in the 6th inning off of Ross Stripling. Ross Stripling, by the way, went 5 1/3 and logged the victory, his 4th with Toronto. 2-run ball on 4 hits, a strikeout and a walk. Tim Mesa was outstanding. He retired all 5 that he was asked to face. He gets his 12th save of the season. Brad Hand made his Toronto debut and set up Jordan Romano's 9th save of the season, the Markham, Ontario native, bringing home the first victory as the Blue Jays return home to Rogers Center. Daniel Lynch had a lot of traffic all night long, but he survived 6 innings, but still gets saddled with the loss. Lynch, 1-3 in defeat. 3 runs on 7 hits, a couple of strikeouts, and a couple of walks. This ballgame spanned 2 hours and 50 minutes in front of a sellout in the socially distanced or modified quarantine or government-regulated restrictions to bring back all the fans to Blue Jays baseball here at Rogers Center. 13,446. I'll be honest, at times it sounded like 33,000. Right here at Rogers Center. They were all compact behind home plate, and they were in it every pitch along the way. They watched Ross Stripling win it, his 4th of the year. Romano got the save, his 9th. Lynch takes the loss. He's 1-3. The Blue Jays with a 6-4 win over the Kansas City Royals to tee up the first game of this series. We're back on the air tomorrow, 3:07 with the first pitch. We'll join you for the short pregame show before Alek Manoah leads the charge of the Blue Jays against the left-hander Mike Minor in the middle game of this three-game set. More of the postgame show coming up in a moment following this Blue Jays victory. It's Blue Jays baseball powered by Jack Lynx across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Back inside a wide-open Rogers Center tonight in downtown Toronto. It's absolutely gorgeous, and so is the result. This is Blue Jays Talk being brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. The Blue Jays tonight pick up win number 1, returning back home with a 6-4 victory and starting their series over the Kansas City Royals. I'm Ben Wagner. Coming up, Josh Goldberg, along with Rob Wong from Baseball Control. We'll take you through the rest of the postgame show. But it's now time for our MVP spotlight of the game presented by TD. And boy, are there ever a number of choices. Teoscar Hernandez, Bo Bichette with big home runs. George Springer had a 3-hit game. Santiago Espinal had a number of great defensive plays. 3 of them on the backhand and 1 of them on the bare hand. And that, of course, was a wonderful play to finish it all off with a great running grab with his back towards the infield into shallow left, making a barehanded grab on the looper beyond third base to finish it off. But I'll tell you what, I think the biggest outs in tonight's ballgame came from Tim Mesa. The lefty was brought in, when the Royals had drawn within a 3-2 score, and Tim Mesa was asked to get the final two outs in the sixth inning after Salvador Perez hit a solo home run to make it 3-2 Toronto. Andrew Benintendi hit a ground ball that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. scooped wide right, and then he got a strikeout, and then he goes 1-2-3 in the seventh. And in the bottom of the seventh inning, that's when the bats erupted, and they swelled it out to three more runs, and at that time it was a 6-2 lead. And if Tim Mesa doesn't come in and lock down the Kansas City Royals, this might be a completely different ballgame. So Tim Mesa is my MVP spotlight of the game presented by TD tonight. So now it's your turn. TD and the Toronto Blue Jays need your help scouting Canada's off-the-field MVPs. Step up to the plate and nominate someone for TD and Blue Jays MVP Spotlight. Visit BlueJays.com/TD MVP Spotlight to find out how. That does it for our coverage here from Rogers Center. We'll go back to baseball control and bring in Rob Wong and Josh Goldberg. They're back in baseball control tonight. Guys, I don't know how it sounded through your speakers tonight, but I'll tell you what, nearly 13,500 sounded pretty good and in full unison supporting the Blue Jays tonight in their return home.
Definitely did, Ben. A phenomenal day for the Blue Jays and their fans. Great job by you. No surprise, you are the pro of pros, just like riding a bike. Ben Wagner back on the airwaves tonight. Calling Blue Jays baseball, and what a game it was this evening. The Blue Jays returning to Toronto for the first time in 670 days. They get the job done tonight, 6-4 over the Kansas City Royals. And as Ben mentioned, Josh, the crowd tonight listed as 13,446, but definitely sounded a lot louder than that amount of fans. I know I've been to ball games at Rogers Center. You have as well. With 13,000 fans, and when it's spread out, it sounds a little bit different, but everybody down in the lower bowls, the 100 and 200 sections tonight, just from the beginning of the game. And, you know, we obviously didn't see a ton of the coverage, you know, prior to the ball game, but you could just feel the buzz from the scenes at Rogers Center, the emotional, you know, pregame ceremonies with the Blue Jays walking out. You could see, I mean, Charlie Montoyo was trying to fight back tears. I mean, he was really emotional at the beginning of the game. You could see some of the players getting pretty emotional. I was getting emotional watching, and I'm sure you were as well. This is truly one of those moments as a sports fan, not even in the city, but in this country. If you're a Blue Jays fan, if you've been following this team for a long time, it's going to be, you know, one of those nights where you remember where you were when you witnessed what we saw this evening.
Yeah, it was great, absolutely, and to get a win, exciting win, a lot of great plays, it's just a good game, fun game. That's the treat that Jays fans really obviously deserved, right? You want to really back that up with a punctuation, an exclamation mark, and pick up the win. So it's just a nice capper to a great day, a ground-shifting type of day for the Blue Jays. Like, we'll get into it, but to cap that off with the return trade deadline, picking up a big win, just cherry on top. Excellent day. You got to be thrilled if you're a fan of the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to get to. It's one thing if this was, you know, the first game back, but it was also the trade deadline, the Blue Jays making a couple of deals. So lots to touch on. We are here with you until 11:30 p.m. Eastern. As always, you can reach us on the text line 590-590. Give us your name and your location. Just your thoughts on this entire day. We can talk about the Jose Barrios trade. We can talk about the return to Rogers Center. If you were there tonight at Rogers Center, if you were one of the 13,000 plus in attendance, we want to hear from you. What was the experience like at the ballpark this evening as the Blue Jays pick up the 6-4 win? But before we do all of that, you heard Ben Wagner, Josh mentioned that Tim Mesa was his player of the game. A couple of big outs for Tim Mesa, five outs, in fact, as he just continues to be incredible since the beginning of June. That ERA now sub one since June. And I will say, I mean, I think, you know, George Springer, probably my player of the game, Tim Mesa right up there. I want to make the case for Tim Mesa to either pitch the, you know, highest leverage innings in the eighth right now, and maybe in even some cases close out a game, because right now I think you can make the case that he is the best reliever going on this team with the way that he is pitching. He's not giving up very much hard contact. I know it's unconventional, very Zach Britton-like, as the guy I keep comparing him to, prime Zach Britton, who was, you know, left in the bullpen in 2016 in the wild card game. But that's the level that he is at right now. And like I said, it might be unconventional because this day and age, you're looking for big strikeout stuff in, you know, the ninth inning to close out a ball game. But he has just been sensational. And I know you're a massive fan of Tim Mazes as well.
Yeah, he's been excellent. You could certainly make the argument with Romano being, I would say, inconsistent for his loftier standards. The slider hasn't been great in the month of July. I didn't think he was bad at all tonight. Got the job done when push came to shove. But like eighth inning, maybe leverage he's already pitching in. There is something about the magnifying glass of closing out a ball game that is different, right? We've seen really good relievers struggle when they've been thrust into the ninth inning. It's a psychological thing. Maybe Meza handles it, maybe he doesn't. I do like him just in the seventh or eighth, you know, especially against lefties, but he's proving that he can pitch to righties as well, which was a real sore spot for myself. A lot of people just wondering if he would be able to get outs against quality right-handed bats, and he's been able to do that for 2 full months. So it's huge, you know, picking up Soria, picking up Hand, who I didn't think was razor sharp, but he was good enough. Now you're kind of cooking with gas a little bit here in this bullpen, right? There's a little bit of depth all of a sudden. You got Romano, you got Hand, you got Meza, Richard, Simber. Hopefully Ryan Borecki can work his way. Soria. That's six guys. Nate Pearson, yeah, eventually if he can work his way in. You're talking about six, seven guys. We talked about this, Joe and I talked about this last night. We've talked about it, you and I, plenty of times over really the course of the last 3 months, that there have been points where there's been one or two guys in that bullpen that you can trust with any modicum of confidence to now feel like you could have four or five, six. That's a real difference maker. And now you add a quality piece in the rotation that can pitch you deeper into ball games. You got to be feeling pretty good.
Yeah, you definitely have to be tonight. The Blue Jays picking up the 6-4 win. George Springer in his first game as a Blue Jay in Toronto, 3-for-4 on the evening with a couple of doubles. Teoscar Hernandez, Bo Bichette with home runs in this one. Hernandez getting things started there in the third inning with a big solo shot. Sorry, the second inning. And then Bo Bichette with a couple of big runs as part of a three-run bottom of the seventh as he hits an Oppo Taco two-run shot to put the Blue Jays ahead 6-2. At that point, the Royals scoring a couple, one in the eighth and one in the ninth, but the Blue Jays hang on to win it 6-4. Like I said, you can text us 590-590. Give us your name and your location, your thoughts on everything that happened today, the trades, Jose Berríos, Joaquin Soria, now a member of the Toronto Blue Jays, the game tonight. If you were at the ballpark, we want to hear from you as well. We're here with you until 11:30 p.m. Eastern. It is Jay's Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers, Rob Wong and Josh Goldberg with you. But before we get to the text, because there are a ton and we definitely want to get in as many as possible, let's talk about the big trade today, Josh. Jose Berríos joining the Toronto Blue Jays from the Minnesota Twins. It's a big, hefty price that the Blue Jays have to pay to make the deal as they give up Austin Martin and Simeon Woods Richardson, who on a lot of prospect lists were within the top five of this Blue Jays system. We saw the reports leaking out initially that, you know, Simeon Woods Richardson was a part of it. And you thought, okay, that's a no-brainer. Maybe it's him and a lesser piece. And then it leaks out that Austin Martin is the second piece. And you're thinking, okay, that's a lot, but maybe there's more. Maybe, you know, there's a reliever or a position player. You're looking at something plus Jose Berríos. No, it's straight up for Jose Berríos. And I think it took some time for people to sort of wrap their minds around it because Austin Martin's a former, you know, top five pick, top player in the Blue Jays minor league system. Simeon Woods Richardson comes over from the Mets, another guy that's a top 100 prospect. What was your initial thought when you saw the deal come out? And then after you had some time to, I guess, digest it, what did you think afterwards?
So in the initial immediacy aftermath, I was definitely surprised that it was going to cost two top tier prospects because it just like it, maybe I shouldn't have been because it was pretty clear that it was building towards a very, very steep price. And there was a bidding war of sorts with a number of teams involved and he's not a rental. And you know, look at what Craig Kimbrel went for. I know he's closer, you know, for a World Series contender, maybe you prioritize a bullpen, but $16 million closer gets you Nick Madrigal, who's a quality middle infielder and should be for a long time, and another pitching prospect. So the prices, I think, were higher than a lot of people anticipated. Spencer Howard going to Texas for Kyle Gibson and Ian Kennedy. That should make you feel a little bit, if you're down on it, I guess, better. But like when it comes to prospects, like the Jays clearly saw something in both of these guys in the last few months that made them say, you know what, our farm system is really deep. Yeah, we like these guys, but we really like what Berríos brings to the table. So I didn't really bat an eyelash, I have to say. I wasn't, my hair wasn't on fire. I wasn't panicking. I wasn't running around in circles, cursing the heavens that this was the price that was paid. You know why? Because José Berríos is a really good pitcher. I know a lot of people have said, oh, well, look at his ERA. He's not one of the best pitchers in the American League, blah, blah, blah. He is a very good pitcher who can get lefties out. He can get righties out. He misses bats. He pitches deep into ball games. This is what it's going to cost for a 27-year-old stud with another year left on the deal. It's just, that's the price to pay. And you needed this desperately. Like Ross Stripling wasn't terrific tonight. If you want to get back into the hunt this year, you need better from your rotation on a consistent basis. And now having one of Stripling or Matt's bumped to the rotation, that's a big plus. Like one of those guys could handle a swingman role. Maybe they can have some success out of the bullpen. But Berríos is a gamer, man. He's going to take the ball and probably give you six plus every time out. Game changer.
Yeah, you look at this rotation now with Robbie Ray, the way he has gone. You look at Hyunjin Ryu starting to turn things around of late. Alek Manoah has been really solid. He's obviously been out, of course, with that back injury. And José Berríos is having a solid season, having some of the best, you know, peripherals, ERA predictors of his career. That's about as good as a top four as it gets, you know, in the American League. Sure, there are some other staffs that you look at and say, yeah, that's probably better. There's not too many that you're picking over the Blue Jays at this point, and they needed it desperately because not only does it help the rotation, but it helps the bullpen as well. That, you know, we've had some pitchers of late. You know, we see Ross Stripling tonight was fine. We'll get into his start, of course, but, you know, was not able to get through six. Steven Matz has had issues getting through six. That cannot continue for the second half of the season if you intend to try to win, you know, 57-58% of your ball games and you're trying to get back into this. You just can't have that on a consistent basis. You need your starters to go at least six plus on a consistent basis to give yourself an opportunity to win these games a little bit more comfortably than the Blue Jays have had at, you know, some point so far this season. So adding a guy like José Berríos just take so much pressure off, you know, your rotation, take so much pressure off your hitters, take so much pressure off your bullpen because the guy's really, really good. And we know the extra year of control, you know, heading into next season, that obviously, you know, was a big sticking point for the Twins in trying to extract as much value as possible. I forget who it was that reported it. I'd have to look it up, but I guess the Twins were talking to the Mariners about some of their top prospects, Jared Kelenic, Julio Rodriguez, Emerson Hancock, who the Mariners just drafted, you know, last year, and they weren't willing to give it up. And the Blue Jays said, you know what, we're going to do it because we want to try to win ball games. So, you know, there's always been this talk about this front office and are they going to be able to step away from some of these prospects and move them when the time is right? I think we can put that talk to bed now because they, you know, in some circles, you look at the prospect evaluators, they said they overpaid for José Berríos. And if that's the case, that's totally fine because the Blue Jays are trying to compete in 2021 and they're trying to compete in 2022. That's just the price of doing business in this market because we saw today, Josh, a lot of these deals, it was a seller's market. You weren't getting very many bargains, especially today.
Well, here's my major problem with the reaction that a lot of people had was just, well, how could you pay that price for a player like any player, but let alone a player like José Berríos, who, you know, hasn't won a Cy Young or anything, a couple of times an All-Star, hasn't had a sub-3 ERA. And then I just say, well, you know, if they hadn't done anything, these same people would have probably been saying, oh, well, look at this cowardly front office not doing anything. Again, you can't have it both ways, right? At some point, you just got to say, well, kudos to them for being aggressive and taking a swing at it because that was the last rung that they had to do, right? Developing the farm system, check, they did that. It's become one of the top farm systems in baseball and enabled you to make a deal like this and still have five or six top 100 prospects by most publications. And then you said, okay, well, they got to sign some free agents. They have done that in spades in the last couple of years. George Springer had three hits tonight, spark plug atop the lineup. Okay, that's checked off. Then you said, okay, well, once the time comes, are you going to cash in some of these chips to trade for a controllable star type player or really good type player. And they did that today. So there's nothing left. They got to continue doing it. But the proof is now in the pudding that they are prepared to do it. And Ross Atkins also said he would have paid for rentals, which certainly caught my eye a little bit. I know he picked up Hand and Soria for not prohibitive costs, but it seems like he was prepared to pay big costs if a real rental became available. And that probably seems like Trevor's story, since there was some linkage to that. But, you know, I just find that there's sometimes you complain just to complain. Nothing is going to satisfy you, right? Like I'm saying, you complain if they hold, you complain if they buy. When's it going to be enough? What is going to satisfy you? Like if they win a World Series in six games, well, why didn't you win in five, right? You got to eventually just put a little bit of faith here in this. I think these guys have earned it. See if these guys on the field now can go out there and get the job done, because the pressure is definitely going to be ratcheted up.
Well, I made the point on Twitter today, and I said, this is the exact tweet. Think about how many times you went and looked up the minor league numbers for Jeff Hoffman, Daniel Norris, Matthew Boyd, and Franklin Barreto in 2015, and how many times you did that for, you know, Kendall Williams last year. You didn't, because the Jays were busy winning ball games, and you were enjoying that. And tonight was one of the most enjoyable games, I would say, in probably Blue Jays history. I mean, there was so much anticipation going into it. The Blue Jays won. A lot of good things happened. How many people do you think were sitting at the ballpark today watching the ball game at home and going, man, I wonder what Austin Martin's doing or Simeon Woods Richardson? Like, they were so, people are so focused on the game tonight and trying to, you know, will their team to victory. And, you know, we're talking about it right now because we have to. You have to, you know, dissect all the trades and everything that went down. But, you know, 2015, 2016, 2020, nobody was really thinking about any of those prospects that got moved out. Now, did a lot of those guys, you know, come back and haunt the Blue Jays? Of course not. But that's generally what happens. I mean, prospects more often than not don't work out. And I also made the point, you know, the one guy that did come back to haunt the Blue Jays somewhat, Noah Syndergaard, who's been hurt, of course, he's been phenomenal when he's been healthy, did not preclude the Blue Jays from winning in 2015 and 2016, because they were still able to trade Jeff Hoffman, Daniel Norris, Matthew Boyd, Franklin Barreto to bring in pieces that allowed them to go on runs to the ALCS. And you look at this Blue Jays farm system, if they want to keep doing that stuff, they still have a lot of bullets in the chamber.
So my other big issue has been a lot of, you know, Twitter is always a tough referendum, right? Sometimes you get into tweets and maybe you see it and it's not the consensus, but it's what's right in front of you. So you have no choice but to react to it. But I got a lot of, well, this has, you know, the Chris Archer trade written all over it for Meadows, Baz, and Glasnow. Or it has the James Shields trade written all over it for Fernando Tatis Jr. And maybe that is true. But, for the most part, a lot of times trades like this are made. The team that is buying the controllable player or the more impactful player doesn't end up regretting it that much. You're talking about three examples over the last few years. There have been so many. Do you think the Cubs regret trading Gleyber Torres for Aroldis Chapman, even though they just broke up their entire roster? I can assure you they do not. So you got to win, and the player's got to make an impact for you. But 5 minutes after the trade is made, instead of just being like, ooh, this is exciting, it's immediately, oh, well, this is Archer 2.0, or this is Shields 2.0. Like, that's just, I just don't see that as a constructive way to react to this. Maybe that ends up happening, but there's probably a decent chance, there's probably just as good of a chance of that happening as there is of one or both of Austin Martin or Simeon Woods Richardson not making anywhere near the impact expected as major league players.
All right, so that is our thoughts on the Jose Barrios trade. We could spend like a whole entire hour talking about it, but it does seem like he could pitch within the next few days. Seems like Sunday could be the target. So if you got tickets to the ball game on Sunday, lucky you, you're going to get to see potentially Jose Barrios' Blue Jays debut as the Blue Jays pick up the 6-4 win tonight over the Kansas City Royals. They're now in a three-game home winning streak dating back to 2019, because they won the final two games against the Tampa Bay Rays. But like I said, 590-590 is where you can text us. Give us your name and your location. We want to hear from you. We're here with you until 11:30 p.m. Eastern. If you're at the ballpark tonight, we want to find out from you what that experience was like, because it looked great on TV, sounded great on the radio. It seemed like just an all-time experience. So let's go to the text line, Josh, because there's a lot that we want to get to. So what are you seeing?
Okay, so here we have Jeff hammering us for defending the trade. Two top 100 prospects, including the 16th best for a number three starter on the staff. It's pathetic. These prospects should have a true bona fide ace in return. No problem trading them. Just a joke of a return. Prospects are trade collateral, and the Jays wasted it. Jeff in Mississauga. Okay. I disagree. We disagree, Jeff. We're not going to stop defending it, though. That's just not going to happen. That's our job. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah, we're just, you know, I understand that, you know, it's tough for people to see a guy that went fifth overall and see a guy that came over in a trade for Marcus Stroman. And is Jose Berríos an elite, elite pitcher? No, he is not. Is he a Max Scherzer? No, he is not. But he on this team has a ton of value, and he has a year left to control. And they're going to get a couple of shots out of here to try to make the postseason with Jose Berríos. And does, you know, is there a possibility Austin Martin turns out to be, you know, Michael Young 2.0? Of course. Is there a chance that Simeon Woods Richardson turns out to be, you know, Noah Syndergaard? Sure. But, you know, those guys heading into next season, I'm not sure either one of them was going to be really ready to tip the scales for the Blue Jays. No. And this team is make or break with Austin Martin and Simeon Woods Richardson. The Blue Jays' future fortune, especially in the next couple of years here, it's Springer, it's Bo, it's Vlad, it's Teo, it's potentially Nate Pearson, it's Jose Berríos, and it's Alek Manoah. This ball club is only going to go as far as those guys take it, barring some more additions through trade, through a free agency. Like, we weren't going into the next year being like, well, if Austin Martin doesn't come up and become so-and-so, like, the Blue Jays are done. Or if Simeon Woods Richardson doesn't come up, the Blue Jays are in trouble. Like, those were, sure, could they have come up and helped? But they weren't going to swing it one way or another. I don't think, you know, you can truly expect either one of those guys to be massive contributors in 2022. I mean, Alek Manoah has been great. It's been a fantastic story, and he has been sensational in his, you know, limited amount of time with the Blue Jays. And sure, could Woods Richardson have come up and done that? Absolutely. But, you know, the Blue Jays get a guy in Jose Berríos, who's a proven major leaguer right now. And they're trying to win ball games right now. They're not worried about 2023, 2024. They'll figure it out when they get there. Let's go back to the text line.
So we got one more on more positive side. BK was at the game at the Rogers Center, and basically was just talking what a special night it was. Plenty of great moments and a signature finish, the perfect script, and now the Jays going to run. Where's that Espinal play on the pantheon of defensive gems? That's on the short list, man. That could be a top five. I know recency bias is a hell of a drug, but that was wild, especially to end a ball game, you know, two-run game. I guess that was the tying run at the plate. That's a big-time play, and Espinal had a really, really good night. Like, any calls about Espinal wanting to play more, you have more of a leg to stand on after a night like that.
Well, just with everything, you know, about this game, if it's a random, you know, game on June the 9th against the Kansas City Royals, like, I don't think, you know, it's a great play, and we're going to see it on the highlights, but I don't think it has as much meaning as it does tonight because of everything surrounding the ball game. But you and I had conversations about Santiago Espinal, and I think, you know, we were both willing to admit when we're wrong. We poo-pooed it a lot, you know, when Santiago Espinal was going through his heater at the beginning of the season, and you and I both said, okay, like, he's a great defender, and he's better out on the field than a Kevin Biggio, but is he going to hit enough? Is he just on a bit of a run here? But he's had solid ABs pretty much all season long. The defense has been great. I mean, you know, you see some of the plays tonight he made at third base on these hot shots, the game-ending play, you know, it's starting to feel a little Ryan Goensy 2015 out there. I'm sure you're getting that sense too. And, you know, Kevin Biggio, he obviously has a place on this team. He's a big part of it. But Santiago Espinal, man, like, he is doing a lot of things right now that is helping you win ball games. And if Kevin Biggio is not swinging the bat, which he hasn't been now for a couple of weeks, he started to slow back down after returning from that neck injury. You could do a lot worse than having a guy that's going to save runs as opposed to, you know, I guess he's going to provide the occasional run too with the way he's swinging the bat. But yeah, he's definitely deserving of a lot more playing time. Like you said, I'm not going to disagree with anyone that wants to put that out there.
Yeah, I think he should be playing almost as much, honestly, at this point. It could be an even timeshare if you want to platoon it. You want to play Espinal a bit against righties as well. I can't argue it. He's been great. The fact of the matter is he's hitting .318, but has an OPS under 800, which is an indicator that there's not a ton of extra base hit juice there consistently. He can pop every once in a while for a gapper or leave the yard, I guess. How many home runs? Does he have one home run this year? So the calls about everyday third baseman, that's not the case. He doesn't hit for enough power to be an everyday third baseman. You got to have a little bit of thump. And I continue to say that the everyday third baseman is not currently on this roster. And if, you know, the Jays, I'm sure, probably looked, it would have been nice if they could have addressed that at least in the short term. But third base is still very much an area of need. Maybe, you know, Kevin Smith is the answer. But yeah, I think with each passing day, it gets harder and harder to see a scenario in which Kevin Smith comes up here all that soon. But I would like to see how he does against major league pitching, because the bat is very much ready. I think he's okay defensively. If he could come in, though, and play a little bit and provide a little bit of thump at the hot corner, that's a big presence potentially that this Blue Jays lineup just currently does not have.
Well, I did see a tweet from Keith Law of The Athletic today. He was in a Twitter thread with people that were talking about Kevin Smith, and just to paraphrase in case I don't find it in time, but he was essentially saying that, you know, there is, here I found it. Kevin Smith has changed his whole swing. There's a real argument that he's a different player now. His old swing didn't work at all. And when he was asked by Brandon Kuhn, in fact, of Jays Nation, he said, there's a good reason to be at least cautiously high on him now, said Brandon. And Keith responded, yes, I'm not entirely sure how to value him, but he was a zero in the winter, and now he's someone you have to protect, or in brackets, or value more highly in a trade. So that's, you know, Keith Law, a guy who obviously knows his prospects, knows his farm systems, and he has sort of come around on Kevin Smith. So maybe there really is something there, and the Blue Jays obviously held on to him past this trade deadline, where we thought maybe that would be someone teams would be intrigued with, because the Blue Jays need to add him to the 40-man at the end of the season. Otherwise, they expose him to the Rule 5. And he has been turning heads down in AAA. Had a double tonight. I think he went 1-for-5. But he's got an OPS close to 1,000 and was playing third base tonight. So wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I don't know how much that says. But, you know, Ross Atkins, of course, has talked about him in the past as someone that is on their radar. So, you know, I would love to see it too. Is there a spot for him right now with Espinal and Biggio? You know, Breivik Valera, does he kind of go out and you bring in Kevin Smith, but then you're, you know, down another guy that can hit from the left-hand side. You're, you know, righty heavy once again. But man, Kevin Smith, it feels like September. I mean, that's a potential time that we could see him as well. I'm definitely down for Kevin Smith with the Blue Jays at some point this season.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see what happens there. I think they like the Biggio Espinal situation, and you know, maybe that's something that happens in September, depending on where the Blue Jays are in the standings and what the need might be. But I would certainly be curious. We got a text here from Sean, Katie, Monica, and Ross. We were at the game today, season ticket holders, excited to be back. Great atmosphere, lots of excitement, energy, and emotions. We can't wait for more. Bring on September ball. It's just exciting that fans are fired up to be back in the building. Seemed like the buzz was there, the energy was there. And there's a good opportunity here, man, with Kansas City, who I know they just, what did they take, 2 of 3 from the White Sox, or was it 3 of 4? I know they just took a series at home over the White Sox, but they're not a particularly good team. They traded Soler, who had been hot of late. You got to take 2 of 3. A sweep would be great, but you certainly got to be looking to take 2 of 3.
Yeah.
And then the Cleveland's not a particularly good team, and you've got them for, I want to say, 4 following, and then obviously another crucial series against the Boston Red Sox. These 7 games against Kansas City and Cleveland are big and could be a real springboard with the emotional lift of coming back into town. Good opportunity here to go on a little bit of a spurt, I think.
Just a quick thought on the atmosphere. I know, you know, you, myself, Sho Ali, we were all fortunate enough to be able to buy some tickets, and we're going to go to the game next week on separate days, of course, because we also need to be able to do this program and provide that value to our listeners. But, you know, in years past, opening day, the home opener is always, you know, a fantastic time. But then the next night, the crowds start to dwindle a little bit and the energy drops and, you know, all that stuff. it feels like every night. I mean, these next 10 days, I guess now 9 days, with this first homestand for the Blue Jays, like every single game, I think, is going to be electric. Hopefully, you know, good things happen. And, you know, when it's positive outcomes for the Blue Jays, it's obviously going to be more exciting for the fans. But I mean, outside of 2015 and 2016, I guess, down the stretch where the Blue Jays were playing some big games, like, usually don't get this, like, you know, on every single night. Like, this is what we're going to see, I think, for the rest of the season, as long as the Blue Jays are in it. It's just going to be electric crowds after electric crowds, at least, you know, 15,000 to start. We'll see if they start expanding it the rest of the way here. But tonight, I think, was a good example of what we are going to see pretty much the rest of the season.
Yeah, I do think that there is the opportunity to just kind of ride the wave here a little bit. And the fact that they didn't have a letdown, considering like they were in the building at 4 a.m. last night and all the pomp and circumstance and the energy and emotion, and there was no letdown, that's an encouraging sign. You know, baseball is a tough game to predict, right, day to day. Sometimes you're as good or as bad as the starting pitcher you have or the opponent's starting pitcher, but there's a lot to like about the setup here over the next week for the Blue Jays to bank a couple of wins. And they're going to have to, because you look around, Yankees won tonight, Rays won, Seattle's leading Texas 8-5 in the ninth inning, and Oakland's leading the sad, very sad LA Angels of Anaheim. So you got to take care of your own business first and foremost, because you can't just bank on other teams doing you a solid if you don't win. So the Jays got to look at this next stretch to pick up some wins and hope that the scoreboard watching goes their way as well.
It is Jay's Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers, Rob Wong and Josh Goldberg with you. You can keep sending us those texts, 590-590. Give us your name and your location. We will hear some post-game audio coming up in just a moment. It was an emotional night, of course, at Rogers Center with the pregame ceremonies. Charlie Montoyo, the manager, definitely emotional tonight. You could see it on his face, trying to fight back tears. Some of the players as well, as the Blue Jays win it 6-4 over the Kansas City Royals. George Springer, 3-for-4 in his home debut as a member of the Toronto Blue Jays. I think, what was it, Josh? It's either 14 players that have never played in Toronto since joining the ball club. So it was pretty special, or it's the opposite, I guess, 14 maybe that have played in Toronto. It's hard to really figure it out at this point, because the Blue Jays have been gone for 670 days. But let's get back to the text line quickly here. Grab a couple more before we hear some post-game audio.
So here's one from Ruben in Alberta, more on Berrios or Berrios. Is it Berrios or Berrios? I've heard both.
I believe it's Berrios, yeah.
I'm going with Berrios. Ruben's a fan of the deal. AL starting pitching ranking since 2018 for Berrios. WHIP second, ERA third, opponent's batting average third, strikeouts per nine fourth, strikeout to walk ratio second. So he's a quality starter, man. He's got a great hook, fastball's solid, good changeup. He's got three plus pitches, and he's got a bit of a sinker in there as well that he mixes in. So if you want to call that a fourth pitch, that's pretty damn good, man. And he can paint both sides of the plate. He throws 95. There's a lot to like. I know that he was a really touted prospect, and a lot of people thought that he had Cy Young potential, and he hasn't reached that. But he hasn't been some big disappointment. He is a front-of-the-rotation type starter. Number three, unless you're rolling out one of the great rotations in baseball. But on most quality rotations, he's, I would say, a number two. He's a number two in a good rotation, and that is a very valuable piece to all of a sudden find yourself having in your rotation if you're the Blue Jays.
Well, I know, you know, we already discussed it earlier with people saying, oh, yeah, you overpaid and you gave up too much. And we saw Max Scherzer and Trey Turner go to the Dodgers yesterday, and they got a haul, and, you know, deservedly so. They are two phenomenal players, and, you know, got Scherzer, a top 10 pitcher. You make the case Trey Turner is a top 15 hitter player in all of Major League Baseball at this point. But beyond that, I mean, who else was available? Like, we saw John Lester move today. We saw Trevor Williams go from the Cubs to the Mets. We saw Jay Happ in his, you know, almost 70 ERA. Hard to watch Jay Happ at this point of his career. Kyle Gibson, I guess, but yeah, he's been struggling of late. Like, who else were you going to go get? And this was the one guy the Blue Jays targeted and thought, he has the most upside of everybody that's still available. We're trying to win now. We're going to grab him. So if the Blue Jays didn't get Jose Berrios, like, would people have been okay with Kyle Gibson or Trevor Williams? Like, these were the types of Andrew Heaney. Like, these were the types of pitchers that were getting moved today.
Yeah, you did really well. Like, if Andrew Heaney, if the Yankees fans are looking at Andrew Heaney as some savior or stabilizer in the rotation, you probably haven't ever watched Andrew Heaney pitch before. Yeah, he misses bats at an elite level. You know what else he does at an elite level? Sometimes not miss bats, and in a very explosive way with extra base hits and home runs. He gives up a ton of hard contact. That's not a recipe for success in the American League East. Kyle Gibson's been hemorrhaging runs, and his ERA's risen, I want to say, almost a full run in the last three starts. So that, and they paid a pretty steep price for him and a rental reliever in Ian Kennedy. So the prices were high. Yeah, I understand you can have sticker shock sometimes at the price that was paid for Jose Berríos, but like, it's not, I don't think you're looking at this as some huge, huge mistake. Like, I think this is a pretty fair price for who has been a very, very consistent starter basically for the last five seasons. Since his first full season in 2017, you pretty much know what you're going to get from Jose Berríos, and that's a quality start every time he takes the ball.
All right, we'll get back to the text line momentarily. It is Jays Talk brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Rob Wong, Josh Goldberg with you. Blue Jays winning it 6-4 over the Royals tonight in their return to Rogers Center. But right now, let's hear from the manager. Here is Charlie Montoyo.
Hey, Charlie, at the start of the game there, you were the first out of the tunnel running in from center field. What was going through your mind then?
You know, today, honestly, was one of my best days in baseball. And I've been around for a long time. I was so happy to be here. I was actually nervous for this game because I wanted us to win so bad, you know, and for the fans and back in Toronto and that energy that we felt there at the end, that with that play that the SP made there at the end, I was just so happy. I just for sure wanted to win today, you know, and of course I want to win every game, but today was awesome. What a day. I'm never going to forget this day.
Was there one moment through that entire pregame, the ceremonies or with your players that will really stick with you?
So I've been around, so the videos of the fans talking about how much they miss us and stuff, I kind of looked down once in a while because otherwise you would have seen tears. I was holding tears, you know, because that's how much I care about Toronto, this nation, about winning and coming back after 670 days, whatever that was. It was just an awesome day and a great win. You know, it's just awesome day. Never going to forget.
Hey, Charlie. We talked a lot about what this home crowd could do for you, like what boost it could provide for you guys. What did it provide for you guys today? Did it help with the win? Like, what was it doing for you guys?
Yeah, you know, the beautiful thing about this is that you guys were here, so you felt the same thing we felt, you know? Awesome. It's a home field advantage. It's just a Toronto crowd. We feel love, you know? We haven't had that in 670 days. And again, I don't want to forget about the fans that we had in all those Dunedin and Buffalo, but it's nothing like playing at home, and today was an awesome day.
When you saw Teoscar hit the home run and then Bo hit the home run later on, like, what was going through your mind then, hearing, I guess, everyone cheering, and what was it like in the dugout in those moments?
It was awesome. It was awesome. But they were still in the game. So, you know, for so much, I got to still think about who's coming next and all the stuff. So great teamwork and great win for us tonight.
Just one more. Nice to see, I guess, Jordan Romano. He had his family here, a lot of his family here, and he closed it out, which obviously it's hometown boy. Was that nice?
So this is what I was thinking now. I said, we could have a 7-run lead. Jordan Romano is not going to get a save, but he was going to pitch. Because I felt that way, like, you know, the kid from Toronto and a day like, or from Canada to pitch in, you know, the last 3 outs of this game. So I already had that in mind. I was thinking about that.
Hey, Charlie, you kind of mentioned that your players had a ton of emotions before the game. Obviously, a lot going on today in general, just at the trade deadline, returning home. Like, what did you think of the way that your players sort of managed their emotions throughout the day and even throughout this game?
Yeah, Arden, great question, because it's not easy, because, you know, because they all felt the same what I was feeling. Like, we wanted to win today, and then, you know, and then you got to go through all this and stuff. It's not easy, but, you know, worked out great. We played great, good pitching, good defense, of course, and great win for, I mean, awesome day for everybody.
And then with Stripling in particular, you know, you guys get in at like 4 a.m. and you know, his warm-ups all screwed up because of the pregame ceremony and everything. What did you think of the way that he sort of competed through everything today?
you know, he finds a way to get people out, you know. And honestly, he has been pitching kind of like with the dead arm a little bit. Like, he's not throwing 93, 94. He's throwing 89, 90. But he knows how to pitch, man. He knows how to keep you in the game, and that's what he did today.
There is Blue Jays manager Charlie Montoyo. Dead arm, never something you want to hear. But I guess a lot of guys have to go through that. And Ross Stripling definitely gave up a lot of hard contact tonight, but used his defense to his advantage as the Blue Jays win it tonight 6-4 over the Kansas City Royals in their return to Rogers Center. When we continue here on Jays Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers, we'll hear from Bo Bichette, who had a big two-run homer in this ball game. We'll also keep taking your texts, 590-590. Give us your name and your location, your thoughts on the day that was for the Blue Jays. Trade deadline, Jose Berríos, Joaquin Soria, now Blue Jays, their return to Toronto as well. If you were at the ballpark, we want to hear from you. What was it like tonight to be a part of that ball game? Blue Jays win it 6-4 over the Royals. It is Jays Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Tapia on the 2-1 pitch. On a line out to deep right field. Dyson on the run. He won't get this one. Nobody will. Bo Bichette with a rising line drive over the right field wall. Like a tee shot on the 18th. The backspin took off, and Bo sizzles it over the 375 marker. Two-run home run for Bo Bichette. And the Blue Jays have opened up a 6-2 lead.
Ben Wagner with the call tonight here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. An emotional victory for the Toronto Blue Jays as they return home, playing for the first time in front of Toronto fans. 670 days. That's how long we waited to watch the Blue Jays play a ball game at Rogers Center, and they win it tonight 6-4 over the Kansas City Royals. Bo Bichette with a homer in this one. Teoscar Hernandez going yard as well. George Springer with three hits, and it's Ross Stripling picking up the win, and Jordan Romano, the Markham native, getting the save in the top of the ninth inning. But right now, let's hear from the Blue Jays shortstop. Bo Bichette spoke after the ballgame.
Hey, Bo, how would you describe the atmosphere in the building at field level tonight?
Yeah, it was amazing. You know, just being back here, having, you know, however many, 14,000 or something like that, just, you know, they were in every pitch. You could tell they're excited to have us back. So it was definitely awesome.
You obviously had a pretty good view for that Espinal catch at the end. I mean, where does that rank on plays that you've seen and made in the game in a spot like that?
Yeah, that was insane. I mean, just everything, like the situation, the fact that he used his hand, the fact that he even thought to use his hand. Yeah, crazy, but we've come to expect things like that from Santi.
Hey, Bo, thanks for doing this. Last night and today, you're seeing some of your teammates see this and experience this for the first time. What were some of those reactions like for you?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I felt like I was experiencing it for the first time, too. It's been so long. But, yeah, I mean, I know a lot of the guys were so excited. Like, we were just talking about Santiago, but he was telling me before the game he feels like he actually finally made the big leagues. I'm sure a lot of other guys felt that way, too. So it was definitely huge for all of us to get here and experience it, and so excited to be here.
Hey, Bo, thanks for your time today. Can you take me back to maybe like the opening moments when you guys ran onto the field, you know, and the big entrance and all the cheers? Like, what was that like? Because that was really the first time that you were really hearing those fans for the first time in a while.
Yeah, really emotional. You know, I was looking at Vladdy, looking at Teo, you know, just everybody's looking at each other like, man, I got the chills. I'm holding back tears, stuff like that. I mean, I said after the game, it's hard to explain, you know, the feeling. We've just kind of been trying to pretend like we had a home. And, you know, it's difficult to do for 2 years. So when we finally came back here, it feels like definitely a big weight off our shoulders. And like I said, just super excited to be here.
And just, you know, today was, as you say, such an emotional day. Obviously on the field, off the field, your team's making moves. I just wondered, you know, what is the sort of, is your team feeling sort of energized today? What is the feeling that you guys have right now after what a big day this was?
Yeah, definitely. But we gotta bring the energy every day from here on out. So yeah, it's definitely exciting to be here. Definitely helped the energy for sure. Didn't really have to generate much ourselves, that's for sure. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of exciting things happening right now. And so we'll look to take advantage of it and just keep playing good ball.
There is Blue Jay shortstop Bo Bichette, who homered tonight in the 6-4 victory. It is Jay's Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Rob Wong, Josh Goldberg with you, here with you for another 15 minutes or so. You can keep sending us your text, 590-590. Give us your name and your location, your thoughts on the day as a whole with the trade deadline, the Blue Jays coming back to Toronto and picking up the win as well. Bo Bichette writing the, well, I guess I don't know if he wrote it, Josh. We know there's a lot of ghostwriters doing the player tribune stuff, but had a nice ode to Toronto, if you will, prior to today's ball game and getting the rub there, I guess, getting the big boost from doing the players' tribute.
Yeah, he seems to have a flair for the dramatic at this ballpark. I remember him being in the booth and he hit a home run, walk-off homer. I think it was against the Yankees back in 2019. Seems to, you remember, I think it was his first game when he was in the middle of that torrid stretch to start his career, I believe also against the Yankees, where he had a home run off the facing of, it might have been the fourth deck, third deck for sure, just an absolute missile. So this was only, I think, his 22nd career game at the Dome, which is just honestly mind-blowing, just an indicator of where we've been at here over the last 18 months or so. But he seems to relish the big league atmosphere of that particular ballpark. And theatrics were on display there again in a big spot, hitting a big two-run homer when that game got to 3-2, and then the Jays were able to, you know, pick up that one run, and then those two on top of it that he hit were huge. And he's done that so many times. He's kind of quietly had just such a great year, right? He's been perfect in stolen bases. What is he, 16 for 16, OPS over 830, power, hitting in the two spot. Now he's adjusted beautifully to the cleanup spot. I know that there's some issues defensively, and we saw that a little bit tonight. But in terms of what he's provided on the base pass and at the dish, you couldn't have realistically asked for much more.
No, you definitely could not. And we know there's been some challenges out in the field, but as we continue to say, I mean, he just does so much at the plate. He provides a ton of value just with his bat alone. That, you know, some of the plays that he makes, and it's not even a range thing because he gets to a lot of balls. It's just about understanding, you know, when to try to force a play and when not to. And we, you know, saw that play, of course, there in the final innings there where he tries to throw out, I think it was Whit Merrifield, and it just was not a good decision. You've got Nicky Lopez rounding third base and nobody's covering home. So you eat that ball and, you know, maybe there's a different outcome and maybe the run doesn't score, you know, with Jordan Mano trying to close it out. But, you know, Bo Bichette is a plus-plus player. There are not too many shortstops with his age and where he's at with his trajectory that you would take right now. So he has had such a good season and continues to show why tonight with a big home run to help the Blue Jays win it 6-4. Let's go back to the text line, 590-590. I want to get people's thoughts on the day that was for the Toronto Blue Jays. What else are you seeing there, Josh?
So Scott and Woody were at the game. Hope you enjoyed it. It was an awesome atmosphere. What do you think of the Jays bringing in Joaquim Soria? Go Jays, go! Yeah, we haven't had an opportunity to get to that. Have you seen the return? I know I saw it was two players. I haven't.
Yeah, two players to be announced.
Two players to be announced. Okay, so you assume. You never know, right? But I guess one was Kendall Williams, right? And the Ross Stripling, that was a player that was announced later. Joaquim Soria is a proven late inning option. I know he's a gray beard. I think he's 37 or 38 years old, but it's not as if his stuff or his velo is eroded. He still misses bats at more than one per inning. He was closing some for the Diamondbacks, and he's got 230 almost career big league saves. That's another proven option to throw in leverage spots. I know it's not a sexy Craig Kimbrell or something like that, but I was pleasantly surprised. I like that move. I think he'll bring something to the table.
Yeah, I think he's really solid. He's a guy that very much like Brad Hand is used to pitching in high leverage situations. He can use his guile and obviously still use his ability to try to get the Blue Jays out of some sticky situations. And, you know, I think with the addition of Soria and Brad Hand, and we saw Trevor Richards and Adam Simber, of course, you know, the Blue Jays, sure, they could have gone out and maybe made a big splash with a Craig Kimbrell or Ryan Tepera, who did give up a home run tonight to Franmil Reyes, as the White Sox in Cleveland are currently tied at four. Sure, they could have gone to someone with a little bit more upside, but I think they realized that, okay, you know, we can get some serviceable guys in here. And the hope is that our starting pitching, now that we've improved it with Jose Barrios, can be big. We're hoping to get Nate Pearson back, and that could be a big high leverage, you know, guy as well that can, you know, strike out some hitters. And we just hope we continue to mash. And that is hopefully the recipe for success for this Blue Jays team. I think, you know, now that we're past the trade deadline and we've seen the moves, I feel like the blueprint is pretty clear at this point.
I would just say that whatever happens this year, if they can like somehow make the playoffs, I still think that that's a real tough hill to you know, summit. I think it's very unlikely, but see what happens here, right? See, even if you don't make the playoffs, right, you just end the season on a strong note, put some pressure, make it competitive. And next year is going to be nut cutting time in a real big way, right? Like, you make a deal like you did with Berríos, ideally you'll be able to re-sign him, but you got to be making a big time move next year. There can be no more, you know, building block type years. You got to be looking at next year as, I won't say a full all in year, because you've still got guys who are not at arbitration and not necessarily making all that much in the way of dollars. But next year has got to be an important year for you to continue pushing this thing in a direction where you can be a team that wins 95 games and wins a division, wins a pennant, and can be mentioned in the breath of some of the top teams in the league as being World Series contenders.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting, actually, over the next few days, maybe weeks, if some information starts to leak out that maybe the Blue Jays had been looking at this player or that player, and that'll definitely pique people's interest to see, you know, maybe they were really close on some bigger moves. I know you and I were discussing today, you know, Trevor Story's name was out there, and the Rockies end up holding on to him and seems pretty frustrated about what went on today. So it doesn't seem like Trevor Story is going back to Colorado. It feels like he's going to market, but I think, you know, that is always of interest to me. Once the deadline's done and everybody's made their moves, that things start to get out about, oh, this team was in on this guy, or this is why so-and-so didn't move. I'm sort of excited to see if the Blue Jays were linked to anybody else that may have been available.
It sure sounded like it, based on what Atkins was saying in terms of what he was prepared to do and other players, maybe some surprises, rentals, that sort of thing. So clearly the Jays were aggressive here, right? It wasn't a rest on your laurels and just kind of hope that these guys can have a nice run down the stretch. They identified areas of need for the rest of this season and beyond in the case of Berríos, and made investments in it, and a longer-term investment in the case of Berríos. So I got to say I was surprised, but I salute I wouldn't call it reckless abandon, but just the aggressiveness, the gunslinger mentality. Look at what AJ Preller has done. I know that the Padres haven't really won much yet, but it's not for a lack of effort. You know, you're not going to get there if you're not going to take some risks. You always have to take risks at some point or another to win a World Series. And the Blue Jays are at that point now where they have to identify, you know, what risks are worth taking and how much they want to push certain chips into the table for some of those risks. And making this trade for Berríos, there is definitely risk involved. So I am surprised, pleasantly surprised, that they identified now as the time in their, I guess, trajectory to make that move. And I think you should be encouraged about what it says for the future in terms of making moves of a similar ilk.
All right, let's go back to the text line. 590-590 is where you can always reach us. What else are you seeing?
So we got one here from Nick in Collingwood just saying, let's enjoy Berríos. Austin Martin has had some issues with his swing and defensive versatility, and Woods Richardson has an ERA over 5. Majed from Toronto, these people are cheap and don't really think about Berríos' quality and his potential as well. A one-sided mentality. A lot of texts on the tweet on the trade, rather. Wesley from Brampton, what a game. Welcome home, Jays. Jason from Stony Creek, I was one of those fans that did not believe in Atkins and Shapiro, but now I believe. I am so happy. Hopefully they can sign more stars during the offseason. Yeah, this is going to be, I know there's still 60 plus games, and hopefully there's playoff baseball on the other side of it. I'm a transaction guy. I'm a hot stove junkie. I understand that there is labor uncertainty in a big way with Major League Baseball. The romantic in me thinks that they're going to find a way to get some labor peace solved, because it's been so long since there hasn't. But the two sides don't seem to have a lot of love lost right now, so that might be optimistic. But this offseason has the potential to just be wild when it comes to the Blue Jays. Anything is on the table, I think, for them to improve their club.
I really do, too. And the reason I say that is because, you know, we've talked a lot about this, but you don't do the things that they've done the last, you know, season and a bit now leading up to this point and go into the offseason and be like, yeah, we're done. Like, we're just going to hope for internal growth and hope that the Jordan Groshans and the Aurelvis Martinez's, Nate Pearson, Alek Manoah, like, we're fine. Like, we'll just let those guys come up here and be major league pieces. And we've already got Vladdy and Bo and, you know, George Springer, Teoscar, and we'll figure it out. Like, I just don't think you can operate that way. You look at the Philadelphia Phillies, for example. You know, they go and sign Bryce Harper. They add Zach Wheeler. You know, today they added Kyle Gibson and Ian Kennedy. But outside of that, you know, JT Realmuto, I guess, like, they've tried to add around pieces, but that's a team that still needs, you know, a lot more, I think. And they've kind of just decided to, you know, kind of play it slow a little bit and make the big splash every once in a while. But, you know, the Blue Jays, I think, kind of have to be on a track where they're always looking to improve and they can't really rest on their laurels. And, you know, you look at the LA Dodgers, right? That's sort of the perfect example of a team that you want to emulate, that, you know, they built up this great farm system. You know, they go out and get free agents. They obviously are a great destination because they're out in LA. But as we saw, you give a guy in George Springer $150 million, you know, you could pretty much pry anyone to Toronto if it's a winning culture, a winning ball club, and you're able to, you know, pay a decent price for those guys. So I just think the work is still to be done with this team. You know, Ross Atkins, Mark Shapiro, they're going to be busy this offseason once again. So Jose Berríos is great, great ad now and for next season. But man, this offseason, you and I have talked a lot about it. I think this is where, you know, George Springer was great last year, but I think this is where it could get really, really exciting.
You want to become a factory of sorts, right? A baseball factory where, okay, so you don't always want to trade every prospect, but the fact that you have such a strong, you know, infrastructure in terms of identifying talent, developing it, and then graduating some and then trading others and identifying, you know, who is the right fit and who isn't. That's what the Dodgers do. They just continually churn out prospects, right? Year after year after year, there's always chips to trade from. And the Jays are very much capable of doing that. Just because they've traded Austin Martin and Simeon Woods Richardson, they already have a really strong farm system still. The fact that Aurelvis Martinez is raking in A-ball and Jordan Groshans has come on, I think, has definitely helped cushion trading somebody like an Austin Martin. And they've done it since they got here, finding talent and stocking up the farm system. That doesn't mean, now that they're at a point where the focus is on winning solely at the major league level, that they're not also continuing to find talent to stockpile the farm system so you can continue to have these chips who are available to you to either graduate, to continue supplementing the major league team, or to make the deals. That's where the Dodgers have found the sweet spot. Padres, I think, are starting to get there. That's where you want to get. And I don't see any reason that the Jays shouldn't get there. You can always say, well, ownership won't spend money, and there have been points in the past where that has been the case. But they're a top half of the league payroll team. They should be a top 10 payroll team, and I imagine that they will be. But if spending money is the only concern, that is overblown. I think that when this team is competitive, they have spent money. So I don't think that that should be a huge concern.
No, I don't think so either. You know, I think they've said a lot and shown a lot the last couple of years here, handing out the big deals to Hyunjin Ryu, handing out the big deal to George Springer. Like, I think that says a lot, right? To get one of the top pitchers in free agency and the best position player in free agency. The actions definitely are speaking very large volumes with this Blue Jays front office the last couple of off seasons. But what a night it was tonight at Rogers Center. The Blue Jays making their return to Toronto, and they pick up the 6-4 win over the Kansas City Royals as the Blue Jays were away for 670 days, and they come back to TO and get the job done. Josh Goldberg and Sho Ali will have Jays Talk for you tomorrow afternoon in Game 2 of this series. Once again, want to thank everyone for texting us tonight. 590-590 is where you can always reach us. You can also get us on Twitter at WongSN590 and at JGoldberg12. You've been listening to Blue Jays Baseball, powered by Jack Links and Hunger Down to the Minors, and Feed Your Wild Side. Blue Jays Royals back at it tomorrow at Rogers Center. Alek Manoah gets the start coming off the IL. He'll take on veteran lefty Mike Minor. First pitch just after 3 p.m. Eastern on the Sportsnet Radio Network. For JR, Andrew, Josh, Ben, Tom, I'm Rob. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to Jays Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers on the Sportsnet Radio Network.